What?
It's not actually true.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with question number one. You can hear me? In the back over there? Good? Okay. It's pretty empty right now, so it should be pretty easy to hear. So, lefikachim nafal hakosel hamakom vavanim shal shnehem. So, perach legemara dalad pshita. So, van nechleku rashi vari magash bebir kushas hagemara. So, let's start us off. So what are they arguing about in the question stage of the gemara pshita? It's so obvious that if the rocks fall, they're going to split them evenly. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says you split the materials, and even if the Mishnah had not taught this din that they can force each other to build the wall, we would still know that they split evenly, even without the Mishnah saying this. Why? Why do we not even need the Mishnah? So according to Rashi, he would say it's in the Rishos of both of them. It's Rishos Shnehem. And therefore, no one who could say like one tefisa is greater than the other. So obviously, even without the din of the Mishnah, they would split evenly. What does the Rima Gash say back to that? He would say it's Medina, and they can build Bal Korcham, and the wall belongs to both of them. So what's Lefikach adding? So I need the first line of Bal Korcham that they can force each other, that one guy can force the other guy to build, and only based on that leads to the Lefikach. Meaning it's the Mishnah reads right through that you need Bal Korcham. You need that one guy can force the other guy to build, or forcing each other to build, and only based on that can you say Lefikach. Therefore, they split they split evenly. So that's the Machlokas Rima Gash and Rashi. Lamalo Ratza Harima Gash Lefarish Kmar Rashi Lefik Tzadachoshen. Right. So according to the Rima Gash, who says we need the line of the Mishnah, we need Bal Korcham. Why doesn't he say like Rashi? Rashi would be a bigger Chiddush, right? Rashi is a bigger Chiddush. He's saying I don't even need the whole entire Mishnah, right? I don't even need the Mishnah. I know they would split evenly. So what's Pshat? What's why does Rima Gash feel the need to have a smaller Chiddush? So we said, according to the Kosos HaChoshen, if not for this halacha, the chalukah would be machmas hasafik. And then if one said, I own all of it, and one says, I own half of it, right? This is referencing our Gemara above Mitzia. What would happen in that case? If this would occur, we would go like the Shnayim Ochsin. And what do we say by Shnayim Ochsin? That if one person says, I own half, and the other person says, I own all of it, then we split 3/4 to 1/4, right? 75 to 25. So comes the Mishnah that said that the Torah's Vadai built the wall, Bal Korcham they forced each other to build, and therefore I don't care about the Tainas anymore. I don't care about, you know, one guy says half, one guy says Kula Shali. Since it was built Bal Korcham, because it was built that they forced each other to build, we disregard the Tainas, we don't care about one person says half, one person says it all belongs to me, and therefore we need this Mishnah. We need the Mishnah, we need the line of Bal Korcham to teach us that they have, that we can disregard the Tainas of 75 to 25. So that's the Ksos HaChoshen. Second, so what's the next part of the question? Shemat Teret HaRash Bel Kushizu. So the question was, what's behind Rashi now, right? Meaning, what's Rashi going to do with the Gemara above Metzia? Gemara above Metzia makes it seem like you need the line of the Mishnah. You need the line of Bal Korcham. You need that line, or else you're going to have to split 75-25. So how is Rashi going to say that our case is different than the case above Metzia? What's his response? So comes the Rashba and says that, what's the difference? Is that above Metzia, they weren't grabbing onto the full talis, right? There was, I forgot the exact lashon, but they're grabbing on, what? Yeah, tfisa but karkashta, they're grabbing onto the fringe of the talis. So if we don't have such a strong tfisa, then the tainas are going to have more weight. And then we're going to say, oh, 75 to 25. However, by our case, it's b'cheska shnehem. It's muchzak b'shnehem. Because the chatzar is chatzi-chatzi, and therefore the avanim are muchzak to each guy, 50-50. So, because they actually have like almost like a even though not mcmamish holding onto the stones at that moment, but they're muchzak. They both have an equal claim on each side. So therefore, we're going to go yachloku in that case. But we can say 25 to 75 by the case of bav mitzia. So let's move on to the next question. Take off my jacket though. It's not because I'm nervous. It's a little hot now. Okay. So Ketzad Pershu HaTosvos B'Kushas HaGemara Pshita Lefi Nachlas David. So I thought it's just best to we'll do Tosvos and then we'll do Nachlas David and then we'll explain the Nachlas David a little more. But I thought you kind of can't just like jump into Nachlas David without knowing what Tosvos says also. So let's do Tosvos. So Tosvos asks, what was Tosvos' question? What's the point of saying that because of Bal Korchach, the Avanim are Shal Shneim, even without Bal Korchach, even without them forcing each other, And even if nafal or shush l'chad minayu, I would still know that they should split evenly. And why is that? Because there was no chazis on either side, right? There was no sign on either side. They have equal ownership. We know that later in the Gemara, right? That if there's no chazis on either side, that they split evenly. They do a yachloku. So even without this whole entire back and forth of the Gemara of they had to force Baal Korcham, even of the nafal shush l'chad minayu, even without all of that, I would know they split evenly because there's a chazis on chazis on either side, so obviously they're going to have to split evenly. That was the question of Tosfos. So what did we answer to that? So the re-explains the kasha of Tosfos was exactly how Rashi understood the question of the Gemara, right? Let me say it one more time. The re-explains that the kasha of Tosfos was exactly how Rashi understood the question of the Gemara. So we asked, in Shir we asked, we asked some questions on this also, but now I think with this background, with this understanding of, with this Tosfos, now we can jump into the Nachas David. So what's the back and forth of Tosfos? How did he shift? What was he thinking in the beginning? How did he change at the end? So he says, originally Tosfos assumed like the Rimagash, that we need the opening line of the Mishnah, because the Rashba's Kasha of the 75-25, right? The Rashba asked, the Bamitzia. So originally he was assuming like the Rashba, that we need the opening line of the Mishnah, to get rid of that Kasha of Bamitzia. And if not, I would think that we go. And if not for that first line, I would think we go 75-25. However, with the answer of the Re, right, Tosfos is being moda that actually I do hold like Rashi, and that Rashi actually makes a lot of sense. And therefore, we're going to have to deal with the second. Okay, so what is it going to do with the Rashba's understanding of Rashi? But that's the back and forth of Tosfos. And let's just clarify that one step further, meaning to say that since Tosfos asks this question of Rashi over here, right? He feels the need to address Rashi over here. What does that mean? It must mean that in the Gemara of a Pshita, Dalet Amud Aleph, he was assuming like the Rimagash. Meaning if he feels the need to explain the Shita of Rashi within Tosfos, it means that the Gemara must have been talking about something else. Meaning the Gemara was talking about, the Tosfos understood the Gemara as within the Rimagash, and therefore he felt the need outside of the Gemara to address the back and forth of Rashi. So that's all the Nachas David. So, Makash al-Perish Zeh Ma Mishnah Bava Metzia. So this is the question we've been dealing with the whole entire time. The question was is that we know that the Gemara Bava Metzia says that the case of 25 of one guy says that half belongs to me, other guy says kulo shili, we split 25-75. And we know that the Rashba answered up for Rashi and said that by the Talis, they are being muksak on the Talis fully. We already did this. I'm going to say it again because I think you need to have this before you go into the Ketos. So, what was how the Rashba understand Rashi? He said that no, by the Talis, they're not muksak, fully. But by the Kosel, it's muksak chetzi. They're muksak chetzi chetzi, right? They each have an equal shaychus to the wall. So that was how the Rashba would answer up Bava Metzia. So the question was is that lama in Tosfos yichulam liyashiv kushezu k'mo Rashba. So why can't Tosfos give the same exact response as the Rashba gave, right? That would make a lot of sense. Why can't you just say the same exact pshat? The pshat made a lot of sense that by the talis there's not such a strong tfisa, by the wall it's muksak. Why can't Tosfos say the same thing by our case? Why can't he give that same response? So the Ksos HaChoshen says that Tosfos can't give this response. And why is that so? Why can't he give this same answer? Because he holds they aren't muhzakim. But as we saw in Bava Metzia, by Kol Da'olam Gavar, why didn't we say the same thing by Talis? Right? Tosfos on Lama Dalet Amud Aleph responded that Shnaim Ochsim Ochsim is shiny. Why? Because they are muhzakim, right? If you look over there, by Kol Da'olam Gavar, he says that the case of Shnaim Ochsim is a different case. And why is it different? Because in that situation they're muhzakim. So if Tosfos has mentioned before that a case is muhzakim, then why doesn't our Tosfos give the same exact response over here? Tosfos should also say by our case that our case also is a case of muhzakim. So why did Tosfos not say that? Because our case is a case of what? Of drar d'mamona. And there's a suffix that emerges before we even bring the case to Beis Din. And why is there a suffix? Because we said that the Metzias of the Shutvis creates a suffix, right? Because they aren't sure who it really belongs to. And therefore, we're going to say Yachloku. So the question is, okay, So now we understand why Tosfos can't say like the Rashba, right? Why? Because the Rashba understood that the case of the Kotel is where they're muksak, where each person has an equal shaychus to the wall. But if Tosfos can't say that because the Dvar de Mamona, there's a suffix about who owns what. Then how is Tosfos now going to address the question of the Rashba? How is Tosfos going to explain why we say Yachloku in our case, and we don't say 25 to 75? I think that's the next part of the question, right? Yeah? Matir Zakios Yaakov, Lekoshazu, Alpi Atosos Bamitsia. Yeah, so how is Tosfos going to respond and say that, he tells us to explain why in our case we say Yachloku, and we don't say 25 to 75 like the case of Bav Mitzia. So the Kios Yaakov quotes a Tosfos in Bav Mitzia. We'll get into this for a second. The question was, why do we split 75 to 25? Let's give the chetzi to the guy who said half, right? I mean, the guy said half, and one guy says full. Why don't we give half to the guy who says half? And why would that make sense? Why would we give chetzi to the guy who says that half of the that who made the claim of half and not do the 75-25? What would be the hav mina to say that the guy should get half because of a migo, right? What would be the migo? The guy could have said kula shali, could have said, you know, this whole entire wall belongs to me, but instead he chose to say half. So therefore, he knows that when he says half, he's shooting himself in the foot, and he's going to get less, right? And he should have said half. I mean, he should have said kula shali. But from the fact that he says half, maybe we should talk and believe that migo. And therefore, why do we say that we should split 75-25? It should be 50-50, right? Because of a migo that the guy could have said kula shali, but instead he said half belongs to me. It seems like a very good migo. So what did the Rivam respond in this Tosfos Bav Mitzia? It says, this case is a case of Migo Lahotzi. And to be Motzi the Mamun from someone else, you need Eidim, right? Because in this case, how is this a case of Migo Lahotzi? In the first Chetzi, they agree, belongs to Reuven, he's Muksak. However, the second half, the second half of the Talis belongs to each half of them, and you're trying to be Motzi the other half from that guy. So this is a case of a Migo Lahotzi. If you say Migo Lahotzi doesn't work, and you need to have Eidim in that situation. So now with that whole entire background of Tosfos Bav Mitzia, now we can finally address our Tosfos in Bava Basra. So why would he say in our case that we say Yachloku, we split 50-50, and we don't say 25-75 like Bava Mitzia? So therefore we'd say by Kosel we explain that they should be Cholkin B'Shava because it's Dvar Ramona and they aren't Muksakim, right? That was how Tosfos understand the case. They aren't Muksak in our case. Since Tosfos holds they aren't Muksak, then why should we disregard the Taina of 75-25 and say Cholkin B'Shava B'Shava? Why don't we say like Bava Mitzia? So what do we answer? Tosfos must assume that over here, if they aren't muhzakim, then of course we should apply the concept of migo, because it isn't a migo lahotzi, right? Meaning if no one has a stronger muhzak than the other person, then you're not being motzi anything from anyone else. So therefore, because they aren't muhzakim, then we can apply a migo. And therefore, if the tainas would come up, if one guy would say half belongs to me, we would believe that midin migo, and therefore he should actually get half. And the guy says kula shali would also get half. But we actually would believe the migo because it isn't a migo lahotzi in the situation because they aren't muhzakim. That's how Tosfos, according to Kios Yaakov, would respond back and say how our case in Bava Basra is going to be achloku and not going to go like Bava Mitzia. So that was all question two. Question number three. Hayim hayu cholkin kotel chatzir b'shave below din ha-mishnah afim naflu havanim l'shuta d'chad minahu l'fiya tosfos v'l'fiya rashba. Okay, so let's say that in English, let's explain it out. So if it fell into the reshut of chad minahu, right? That's going to be that was the answer of the Gemara, and that the Kamash Balam is the Yachloku. That was explaining of the Peshitta, right? So if it fell into the reshut of one of them, they are cholkin b'shava, even without the Mishnah. What would we say about that? Even without the Mishnah, according to the Rashba, what would we do? And according to Tosfos, what would we do? So let's start with Tosfos. Tosfos would say, of course, you're going to be cholkin b'shava. And why is that so? Why even without the Mishnah would we say that? Because it's a tfisa. Acher shenolad asafik, right? And this is a case of drar d'ramona. So because of that, if it's a tfisa shenolad acher asafik, then of course no guy, I mean, even though the guy's taking it afterwards, it doesn't matter because his tfisa is not a good tfisa. So of course we're going to say achloku in that situation. But according to the Rashba, he would say no. Only once they go to Beis Din does the suffix arise. It's not a case of Drar D'Ramona. The suffix that doesn't arise in the beginning, the suffix only arises when they go to Beis Din. So therefore, what's the case? It's really a case of Tfisa kodem shenolad asafik, right? I took this part before the asafik even arised. So therefore, in that situation, the guy who does the tefisa actually would be a good tefisa, and it would belong to him. So therefore, if without the Mishnah, the Rashba would say, would not say yachloku. So he actually needs the Mishnah. So that's what's behind the machlokas. We say the case what's behind the machlokas is when is the suffix occurring, when is the suffix occurring, and at what point is it when they go to Basin, is it already the beginning, and based on that it's tefisa kodem shalal suffix or it's going to be tefisa achar shalal suffix. So that's the machlokas Tosfos and Rashba. So now appears Teretz Hagamara Lo Sricha the Nafal Shutul Chad Minayu Lafia Rashba Lafia Tosfos. So how are they gonna how do they read into the answer of the Gemara? So we had trouble with Tosfos. The Rashba reads a little more simply. So we'll do that second. But Tosfos, we said we had a major issue with Tosfos. We mentioned this in Shir. So since Tosfos has this chiddush of Nafal Shutul Chad Minayu. Is in the kasha, right? He said, afilu, you know, that's not for the shutul chad minayu. He said that even in the question of Tosfos, he said that what's it called? Because there's no chazis, you would split it equally anyways. And he said, even if nafal shutul chad minayu, so Tosfos had that already in the kasha of the Gemara. He reads the answer of the Gemara into his kasha of how he understands the kasha of the Gemara. So the question was, so then when the Gemara actually does answer and says nafal shutul chad minayu, what's that answer coming to add? Meaning he already addressed that answer in the kasha of the way he understood the kasha of the Gemara. So we answered, this is Tosfos Lafikach, that it was Shor Rishus Harbe. You would think this guy can make a claim that he bought it, and therefore he should be Ne'eman, but if it's more than in the usual time, then even Shuftim will be Machbet on this, and less than the usual time, they won't be Machbet on this, but obviously more, they're going to be Machbet on this, right? So therefore, you would think that if it's Shor Rishus Harbe, it should belong to that guy, to the guy whose Rishus it was sitting in. K'mash B'lon, the Mishnah says, We're Cholkim B'Shaveh, and that's how Tosfos understands the answer of the Gemara. So the Rashba is going to have a much, much easier job. He doesn't need this whole entire... He didn't read the answer of the Gemara into the Kasha. So he's going to have a much easier job reading out the Gemara. So how is the Rashba going to address this? Address the back and forth of the Gemara, the answer and the question? So he would say, you read the Gemara, you know, pretty normally. And so then the Havamina, we assume that it was Tfisa Shinolad Kodem HaSafik, right? That therefore, it's Tfisa Shinolad Kodem HaSafik, then the first guy who takes it should have a valid tfisa. It should belong to the guy who was nafal l'shusay, right? Whoever is reshus it falls into, and then because the suffix is occurring later, it should taka be a good tfisa, and therefore it should belong to that guy. Kamash b'lam comes to the Gemara to say we are yachloku, and because it needs to say show reshus harbi, he doesn't need that pshat because he understands, because he actually doesn't read that into the, that doesn't read the, what's it called? He doesn't read the Nafra Shachabi Nahu into the question of the Gemara. So that's Rashba. So let's move on to question 4 and 5 and 6. So number 4, Im Shutaf Rotze Livnos Mechitza Mutza Bibika Mayasaki Lochiach Shlo Hishatef Hasheni Binyan Mechitza Lefia Rav Nachman Lefia Baye. So this is just like the basic Gemara. So what does Rav Nachman say? It says that you should add perpendicular branches on the outside, on the top, for a chazis, right? That's how you use a chazis. It's like, you know, the branches are going up like this, then you should add some across, and that's the chazis. Abaye says that we are still concerned that the chutzah removal, if someone removes the stop on stuff, the top on, if someone removes or knocks it off, it's going to be unrecognizable. Even if you had tit there, if you had cement there, it's still not going to be good. Therefore, there's no takanta. There's no fix for here, and you're going to need a shtar. Okay. So according to Rav Nachman, he has a chazis. According to Abaye, you're going to need a shtar. So that's the machlokes of Nachman Abaye. So ma kasha b'divrei Abaye. So we asked the kasha on Abaye. So what was our question? We said according to the Baal Me'or, you need mepik savo of the mischayev. Meaning, what does that mean? So Abaye said ein lo takanta. Rather, you need a shtar. But the Baal Me'or explains mepihem is needed. You need to have, like, you know, a verbal part from the mischayev. But if they testify with the ksav on the maisa, then there's going to be an issue. However, if the Eidos is in the Ksiva is on the Das Habal, right? Meaning, if the Ksiva is going on the Maisa that's occurring, then that's not going to be then this Ksiva is not going to be a good Ksiva to accomplish Eidos, right? But if the Ksiva is addressing what the Das Habal is or the Das Mischayev, then this isn't a Pi Ksavam. This we view this as not as coming from the as just like a written thing, but we view it as a Pi Ksavo. It's as if the guy himself signed off on this and said, I'm okay with what the mischayev is okay with what's occurring here. We said, who's the mischayev in our case of our Gemara, right? It's the other shutaf who can claim the wall is his if it falls. However, by the shtar, the second shutaf doesn't have the das to be mitzavet for the shtar, right? He never, you know, we never asked his opinion on the issue. We never asked him, can we do the shtar? So how does the shtar work if we aren't getting we aren't getting the mipik savo of the second shutaf. This shtar is in mipik savo. So what kind of edus is playing out here? How is this shtar working bichlal? So we answered lefir b'chanan Wasserman that if there is no mischayev, if there's no mischayev at all, then you create the shtar without the dasa mischayev. So he would say in this situation we don't view the second shutaf as a mischayev, and therefore you can write the shtar without his das. So that's the answer. So that's the Efshar Yashev Kushya. So now we're going to bring two rayas, Tain Bet Rayos, Liso Zeh. So where are the two rayas? Where are they from? So we brought one raya from the Chidush Aran. And the second one was from a Gemara Kedushin with Avnei Beluim. So we'll start with the Chidush Aran. He said, by a loan you need a shtar, that one is taking from another person, and the shtar shows the relationship between the malva and the lova. However, there's a case of Mecha on Lamatet, Amid Beis. And what's that case? That if Reuven is on the field of Shimon, he's been eating the fruits from his field. If it's within 3 years, we ask Shimon to show the shtar. However, after 3 years, you know, people usually get rid of the shtaros. They don't hold on to the deeds of their house for that much longer. Therefore, if Shimon wants to be mocha, if Reuven's on his field, he wants to be mocha. You know, he wants to say, you know, like Reuven, like get off my field. And he's like, let's say he's far away or something, or he's on vacation. How should he do it? We said he can be mocha in front of Edim and write a shtar to get out the word. That's how you would do it. That's how you'd be mocha. So the question was, if the mischayev the mischayev is doing a maisa, then we need the das of this guy, right? Because I'm being mocha to the mischayev, who's the guy who's chilling, who's Reuven, who's chilling on the field. I'm not being mocha with his das. I'm not addressing him at all. He's not going to know that I'm being mocha. I mean, the word will eventually get to him, but he doesn't know that. So, however, by the case of Lamatet, the Bala Shtar is the Bala Maisa and the Bala Mecha. And therefore, we only need his das. When there's no Mischayev and there's only just the Bala Maisa or the Bala Shtar, then we only need him to do it. We don't need the other guy to be Pik Savo, that he knows what's going on. And then the next is the case of the Gemara Kedushin. I'll say it mostly outside the Gemara. The Gemara was trying to find it back and forth with whether we need Lishma by a Shtar Kedushin or not. And it was just going back and forth, you know, trying to bring parallels between Gittin and Kedushin, between Vyatza and Vahaisa. That's the pasuk that we use to draw a comparison between. Gittin and Kedushin, and the Maskan of the Gemara is that everyone agrees that there is some kind of Hekesh, some kind of connection between Gittin and Kedushin. The question is whether that Hekesh extends to the Shalomi Das or to the Das HaMakna as well. But either way, that was kind of the give and take of the Gemara and Kedushin. So now, so the Avdin Meluim asks on this. He says, we know that Shtar Kedushin from Gittin, that we need Das HaIsha by Kedushin. But as we just explained earlier, Lafi the Baal Meor, that you need the, but we know that by Shtaros, we need her das, and it needs to be Mipsik Savo. So why would we need this whole entire give and take of the Gemara and Gittin and Kedushin about going back and forth, trying to figure out, you know, why we need her das, right? We know we need her das, we should know that we need her das by Kedushin. Why? Because by Shtaros, we say in general that you need the das HaMeschayev, right? You need the das of the, maybe Pik Savo. So why does the Gemara and Gittin, it could have given a very easy answer. We need to give that whole entire give and take of maybe there is a connection between Gittin, not the connection, how intense is that connection between Gittin and Kedushin? We could have had a very simple answer. The Gemara could have cut to the chase and said, by Shtar, we say that we need her das. So how is this different? So we explained that we know that we need a das hameschayev. So why do we need this hekesh of das hamakne? If we know by shtaros, you need a das hameschayev. So Rav Chanan Wasserman explained that we don't need her das hameschayev of midin shtaros, right? Because midin shtaros, we don't need the das hameschayev. But midin the machne of Yaseva Haisa, right, of the Gemara in Kedushin, she also needs das. But we don't need this by shtar for her. I mean, in the realm of shtaros, it's not necessary for because we don't need the das mischayev based on the Yisrael Rav Chanan Wasserman. But and that's why the Gemara felt the need to do this whole entire drasha of Yatzeva Haisa to create a connection between Gittin and Kedushin, and didn't bring it from Shtaros, because Rav Chanan Wasserman would take care of that. So moving on to question 5. Mevur b'Gemara, v'lefi Tanakama, im hamakev gadar dal ruchos, misav l'nikef, chay v'nikef l'ishatev behutas habinyan. So v'eze mechitos, mayri Tanakama, l'fi Rashi, v'fi atos b'avakama. So Rashi says we're dealing with a case. I have pictures on my computer, so but I'm not going to zoom in right now. But it's where one person bought three fields, and that surrounded one. So we have one guy in the middle over here, and one guy bought three fields all on top, right? We made all surrounding him, and that's the case, and he wants him to contribute for that wall on the bottom. So it's 1, 2, 3. This is the Nikif, this is the Makif, and the Makif wants him to contribute and he's going to build that fourth wall. We'll see who builds, who doesn't build, but he wants to contribute to that wall on the bottom. Tosfos in Bava Kamma says we're talking about the walls surrounding Reuven's fields that differentiate between his fields and Rishus HaRavim, right? Meaning we don't care about the inner wall between the Makif and the Nikif. We care about the outside wall between the Makif and the Rishus HaRavim, because now the Makif's fields are protecting the Nikif. So he's saying that he's tining that I want help building that last wall on the bottom to prevent, because I'm protecting you from the Rishus HaRavim. Okay. So the Rashbam says what hana is the guy getting? The concern is animals entering, and for that you need yotvachim. You need to have a certain height for the walls. And therefore, if the makiv builds all four, then he's protected from the shena regel of the behemas. And that would seemingly be that would seemingly fit better with Tosfos, because we're concerned about things coming from the Shisarabim, animals coming from the outside and coming in. So that would be the Rashbam. That's the hana. Now you're getting is hana being protected from the animals, sheep coming in and eating up all your produce. According to the Meiri, what's the hana you're getting? We're talking about, we aren't talking about Hezek Behema here, but Hezek Re'iyah. We're talking about the mechitas between Reuven and Shimon, and that would fit very, very well with Rashi, because you're saying that the concern is all Hezek Re'iyah, and therefore our concern, I mean, it says Bibdasa Rashi, right? So our concern is that Reuven's looking to Shimon, so therefore he wants him to contribute to avoid Hezek Re'iyah. So I'm moving on to our last question, question 6. Eze stira yesh bein ha-mishnah bet amin aleph, ha-mishnah dal amin beiz, lefi hanachas David. And then, okay, fine. So let's deal with the question first, and then we'll start addressing all the different answers. So the question was, on our Mishnah on Beis Amin Aleph, it says that by Bika, you don't need to pay at all, right? You don't have to contribute to the walls at all. Yet by our Mishnah on Dalet Amin Beis, it says that if you build that fourth wall by a Bika, you're Chayav. So it's a stira. On Beis Amin Aleph, we're saying you don't have to contribute to pay at all. You're totally patur from paying. Yet in our case of Dalet Amin Beis, if you contribute, if that last wall is built, you're gonna have to pay. You're gonna have to pay up. So it's a big stira. So how are these two cases? How are these two Mishnayos different? How are we gonna address this issue? So the Nachas David gives his own answer. Bidasa Rashbam, he says that by Beis Amin Aleph is for Hezek Re'iyah. And Dalet Amos. So you have Dalet Amos there because Hezek Re'iyah. So he isn't obligated to pay over that situation. But by Dalet Amos Beis, what's the Hezek that we're concerned about? It's a different kind of Hezek. It's Hezek Behema, and therefore you're going to need Yotvachim. And the height is going to be different because they're protecting against different things, right? By Beis Amin Aleph, you need Dalet Amos to protect Hezek Re'iyah. But by Dalet Amos Beis, right, you're protecting against Hezek Behema, so you're going to need a smaller shear of only Yotvachim. So how does the Baal Me'orah explain the difference between these two cases? He would say that by Bika, by Dalet Amin Beis, It's makam shenagu ligdor. So that's why you're chayev, right? I mean, the case of the Gemara, the case of Beis Amin Aleph was makam shenagu shelo ligdor. So when it's makam shenagu shelo ligdor, then you're going to say you're patur from contributing. But it's makam shenagu ligdor, like Daladam Beis, then you'd be obligated to contribute and to help pay in that situation. And then now, Lafi Rabbeinu Yonah, what's his response? And then we're going to ask a question on him and give an answer. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, he would say, even though we are talking about Hezekiah, the chesh of the Mishnah is that on Beis Amin Aleph, that was Lechatchila. That's the ideal. Ideally, you should not have to contribute. However, on Dalet Amid Beis, we're saying, B'di'evet, if he gets Hana, then you can force him to contribute. So the question the Magid Mishnah asks on the Rabbeinu Yonah, he says that if it's Makum Shenagu Shelo Ligdor in a Bika, then even by fourth side, even if there are four sides, we shouldn't be mischayef him at all, right? We shouldn't, meaning if we're to say that what's the point of saying, of having a Takanas Chachamim and saying, you know, that you're obligated, that you're totally putter, there are all these like little exceptions to the rule. So the Magid Mishnah answered up that obviously, if he's that what's the difference between Beis Amin Aleph and Dalet Amid Beis? What's the difference? By Beis Amin Aleph, if he's mocha, then he doesn't have to pay, right? If the guy builds it and he says no, I'm not down for this wall, then he doesn't have to pay. However, by Dalet Amid Beis, he was shasak. He let it happen. So it's like he wants the wall, and therefore he's obligated to pay. And the difference is, if you're being mocha, then you're not going to have to pay. Clearly, you don't want this wall. However, if you're a shasak and you ask passively, then you're going to be obligated to pay. I guess we'll stop here. Very good.